Welcome to Soul Journey Doula, a Big Blend Radio end-of-life podcast featuring Lee Brovedani. Welcome, everybody. It is time for another Soul Journey Doula conversation with Lee Brovedani. And you know what? Spring has sprung. We're very excited about spring. It's been quite a winter all over the country and around the world, actually. And hopefully spring will just kind of start evening out. But it's that season where we start to go, okay, let's do the spring cleaning of the house. And this leads us to the topic of the day, which is actually death cleaning. And I was reading this article. I'm like, Lee, we need to all clean our houses out before we die. But welcome back, Lee. How are you?
I'm good. And you know, we're leaving for a few days. So I did just clean my house, washed all, did all of that, but it's not quite the same as death cleaning.
So death cleaning, this is actually a traditional thing in certain countries, and it's about really not burdening your loved ones with all your stuff.
Exactly. It's really common in Sweden and different Scandinavian countries where they have a whole process of, and it's not just about cleaning your house. It's about uncluttering. It's about not gathering new stuff for people to get rid of. And yeah, there's a whole process of death cleaning.
So is this part of also, like, you know, as we went on the tour, we got rid of, you know, all of our stuff. We donated, and then we had one storage unit of things we thought we had to have. Then we stopped the tour for a couple years, had some work to do. And of course, then, you know, gathered a bit and then realized half the stuff we thought we needed, we didn't. So then we really got rid of everything and donated it and gave it to people who actually really needed it. And it felt really good. In fact, we donated, the first round was to a homeless nonprofit that helps people transition into homes. And it's like shopping for them. They're like, oh, I want this plant in my new house. And they're learning to get jobs and everything again. So it was really cool to be able to be on that process and see someone actually enjoy what you had versus, you know, you just dump it at the Goodwill and hope.
Yeah. You know. What is it? Someone's junk is someone else's treasure. So
sure. But it was also a process for us to go through what really had ultimate meaning. And so, and you know, from moving different countries like Nancy and I have, we all go through this because you can't ship everything, you know, unless you really want to. I mean, it's sometimes just, it doesn't even make sense unless it's something treasured. And I wonder about, a lot of times people will have these, you know, family heirlooms, and everyone's wondering who's going to get grandpa's, you know, famous antique clock, and people start fighting about it. But sometimes it might be nice to just give it to the person before you pass on so you can experience that. Is that part of this death cleaning as well?
Yes, absolutely. So why not give the gift that you wanted to leave somebody while you still have the pleasure of seeing them experience something that they've really wanted? So it's kind of a dual thing. You're simplifying and uncluttering your life, and at the same time, you're connecting with people that you love in a way that kind of honors the object and brings joy to a few different people.
Okay, so now you're leaving to go away for a couple of days, right? So you clean the house, and you know when you come back, it's clean. If something happens and someone has to run through your house and get some paperwork or whatever it is, you know, you've got a clean house. Like Nana always said, always wear your clean knickers when you go out, because you never know, if you get in a car accident, you better be wearing clean knickers at the hospital.
Yeah. Always anyway, that's, you wonder who wore the dirty knickers.
I know. I'm like, who wants, you know, but the thing is, like, when you know you're passing, you kind of, I think there's a restlessness if you haven't taken care of stuff beforehand.
Yeah. Well, you know, just before we started, I was telling you that my mother-in-law was a hoarder. And I sat with her, and I had read all kinds of books on how you approach. And so talked about the joy of giving away some of the things that she had collected to others. And her response was, no, I'm keeping it all. That's your job when I die. And I can tell you, it didn't make me feel really warm and fuzzy towards her. And
but that was well put.
Passed, there was a lot of issues within the family between, my sister-in-law and her brother. And like, we just kept saying, take what you want. Mm-hmm. But when it ended up that there was myself and one other person tasked with cleaning out a lot of junk, and there was a lot.
Mm.
And there was, how dare you throw away and give away this bag from 40 years ago? There was a no-win situation.
Oh, so this can become family drama that's unnecessary when you pass. Yeah.
And so you're preventing that as well. That's part of it, is that you're preventing a lot of the family drama that can happen.
Yeah. You know, people, actual families fight over, the house, the stuff, the properties, that becomes something. So it's kind of nice to sort it out according to your wishes beforehand. And maybe that will iron it out. If that's your wish, then what happens if you like have this property and you say to someone, remember when Oprah gave everybody those cars in the audience? And then there was like a faction of them that got pissy about it because they had to pay the taxes on the cars, and they were getting the cars because they couldn't afford to buy a new car. You know, she thought she was doing something really wonderful, right? I mean, if someone gave me a new car, well, I'd have a hard time getting rid of mine because she's special. But I can't. I mean, this car's going to have to go until like another century. I don't know what's going to happen, but I can't.
What's her name?
Mulva Cleopatra Doppelganger.
Oh, okay. Like, I knew there would be a good name. Yeah.
Yep. From Seinfeld. Mulva. Anyway, so we don't need to go into that on this show right now, but a little humor goes somewhere, right? When we talk about death, we always say we like to have a little humor. But when you think about, like, she gave all these cars, brand new cars, to all these women in the audience who didn't have much money. And then there's a faction who got pissy because they can't afford the taxes and the tags and all of that kind of stuff. For the, even though the car's paid for, it could be like $1,000. I don't know what it was. We can't afford this. And so it's like, oh, so you may want to give someone, here's, this beautiful lakefront property. Well, the person you're giving it to might not be able to afford property taxes on this big fancy property, or may not like lakes. Well, I don't know what's wrong with them, but I'm just kidding. You know what I mean? It's that you've got to, sometimes giving is really important to know who you're giving to and why.
Yeah. There's a process that they suggest as far as the Swedish death cleaning, and you have to start somewhere. You have to figure out, where am I going to start? And that they say, start with something that's easy. Start in your closet and go through and get rid of things that don't fit anymore. You know, most of us think that we're going to, the sizing is going to go the other way. Mm-hmm. And so we hold on to those things that, it's so special, and I'm going to diet, and I'm going to exercise, and I'm going to get back into that size 2 dress.
No.
Not happening. So, time to start getting rid of things that, if there's a tear, if there's a rip, if there's something wrong with them, then a friend of mine who was an organizer helped me when we were moving from the house we had lived in for 17 years, and it was 3 boxes. And one was donate. One of them was garbage, like you could actually throw it away, and then keep, it wasn't 4 because the keep I just left on the hanger. But when you're going through your closet, go through it and look at give away, sell, or donate or throw away or whatever. And it's easy, because if you have those, it's amazing how much faster it goes.
Mm.
So, like I said, if the clothes are damaged, if they're steamed beyond being able to do anything with them, if they're ripped, if they're torn, then decide, is it salvageable? Can you give it away as goodwill? Or If goodwill can't sell it, bite the bullet. Doesn't matter how many memories you have with it. Throw it away.
And not necessarily use goodwill either. Just a thing out there. There's really look at who you're giving to. Sometimes there's local charities that are doing stuff that is really incredible, even for youth. And because sometimes these really big names aren't always good. Sometimes they are. So I'm not saying anything negative. I'm just saying it's good to do homework so you feel good about giving it away. And when people start to clean out, you know, even if you're in your 20s or 30s in your first home, sometimes you get like, oh, the house starts to feel small. But when you go through these processes, suddenly you can move in your wardrobe. Your bedroom doesn't feel so tiny anymore. And then when you clean stuff up, it might be that, my God, I live in this giant house. Why am I in it? You know, sell it, make some money and go on a cruise. You know what I mean? So that kind of thing is good. And it almost feels like a living an uncluttered lifestyle too.
Yeah. When I, like, I'm not speaking on stage as much anymore. Occasionally, like I have an occasional thing, but it's not quite the same. So I had this wardrobe that was very professional. And I have a niece who is the same size as me. So I brought her into my closet and said, go shopping.
Oh, that's cool.
And she was thrilled because she got things that she couldn't afford. And
that's awesome.
Made her feel really good, made me feel really good because I saw it on her and I went, oh yeah, I really remember how much I love that dress. But it wasn't like I wanted to keep it. It was just felt good to see someone that I loved having so much joy on something that I had purchased.
You know, a friend of ours is busy going through this process for her mom who has passed. And she just, every time we see her, lo and behold, she grabs hold of Nancy and I, nope, you need this, you need that, you need this. And I swear, I still, actually, I think this is her. Yes. This is proper. She's like, this fits you. And I'm like, oh, okay. Because, you know, we're terrible about clothes being on the road full time with a suitcase each. You either start wearing your clothes down or it's like, okay, but you can't add. You've got to live this very strict, there's that Buddhist kind of mentality or way of life.
One comes in, one goes out.
One goes out. Yes. Because you can't have two glasses of water in one glass. Right. And so, and trust me, I'm actually in this process right now. As this airs, this car needs to be cleaned out before we drive to Tennessee because she's getting heavy and she says, you guys got to give me a diet here. This is not fair. You can't put your weight on me. So, you know, we're in that process, but you know, when a friend always, she always like, here's this, you know, and it's, if it doesn't fit or doesn't look, you know, she's fine. And it always reminds me of her, you know, and it's just, it's helping her. It's forcing us to do something we hate to do. We hate clothes shopping. But if I'm at a friend's house and she's like, here, try this on. I'm like, oh, okay. I'll have a glass of wine. We're listening to music and I'm with a friend. That's okay. But put me in a clothing store or Nancy. We're like, Nancy's in the corner going, uh-uh, already. So there's this process of bonding that comes from this is my point too.
Yeah. And a friend of mine it's Lisa Leonard, who's a voice artist. So shout out to Lisa. Has had parties where there's things that you really like and it's a clothes swap. And so you get a bunch of girls together who have a whole bunch of clothes that they don't wear anymore, but they still like them. And so you all get together, you bring all these treasures, you hang them up, and then you just go shopping in someone else's closet at the house. And it's a nice way of decluttering. And it's that thing when one thing that you're not using goes out, you can bring something else in. So there's all kinds of really creative ways of decluttering your house. So we've talked about a couple. Find something you can use it. And the second thing, do a clothes swap.
Yeah.
Find a charity or find something that makes you feel good about doing it, you know? There's enough things happening, whether or not you are for, against, or whatever, with the refugees coming in, maybe it's a good thing to help someone out. And if you've got a bunch of things that you can no longer use, that's something that they might appreciate it. So there's all kinds of ways of decluttering, of doing this step cleaning, and make yourself feel good in the moment.
And for women's shelters of kids and things like that, I mean, it's, you look around the country, there's plenty of need to go around. You know, there really is. But also those heirlooms, I mean, I think it comes to a point where you start to shrink down your life in your living. You know, if kids aren't home anymore, maybe you're solo now that you weren't before. Do you need a big house? Do you want to stay in your house? That's fine. But this also becomes part of that conversation with your family, right? So it's kind of about being really dealing. We talk about this every time on the show, is dealing with the fact that, yes, we're all going to take a walk on a different, on the wild side. I'm hoping it's wild on the other side, but we're going to go on a different journey. Every single one of us, we're all birthed and moved on.
You know, and that's, you bring up a really good point, Lisa, is have the conversation with your loved ones, that treasure that you think, oh, you know, they're going to love this. I remember saying to my daughter and my son, start picking out things that you want. And, you know, we'll make sure you get it now or you'll get it later. And my daughter said, Mom, I don't want any of your stuff. I want to get my own stuff. And I was like, but I have really good stuff. Your kids might not want it.
Wow.
One of the things that people think, or this is an age thing, dining room sets. It's really hard. If you've ever gone on eBay or MaxSold or whatever site, and you look up dining room sets, people can't give them away. Most of them, people don't sit at formal dining room sets anymore. So that dining room set that you paid so much money for and you just think, oh, my daughter's going to love it. Well, you better have that conversation with them. Because if she doesn't want it and you have to downsize and you might be moving in from your big house into a smaller place, see if you can sell it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe see if there is maybe someone in your family who wants it. Like all of those things, you need to start having those conversations with your family and your
and
loved
just
ones
feels,
now.
It feels so nice to, when it goes to the right place, you know, all of our, Nancy and I are really bad about books and music and plants and wine. And they all go well together. But when the second time we left, you know, our storage unit was the books and the music, and the music I had to pare down. And oh, let's not go into the music. That's a problem. But anyway, it's
and
my
I can
problem.
See it makes you sad thinking about
it's
all
like, but it's something you can share, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so cool about used vinyl too, is like, you know, other people's treasured it and you just protect the vinyl. But anyway, going back to the books, it's just the same thing. These were very personal. We'd taken them all over the, like, Africa, Mexico. They've been, I mean, they smelled like Africa still, you know, they've been all over. And there's these, you know, world atlases, animal books. I mean, library. I mean, we really had that. And we gave a lot away. And then here they were again. We're like, oh yeah, we're going to want to go through them. And we realized we are living in the world of media. That's what we do. It's like we need to just live in the present. That's what our choice was. So when we gave them away, the books went to people who actually wanted them. Like there was a lady who's gardening, who was a neighbor, and she took the hummingbirds. She took our plants and the hummingbirds. We literally watched the hummingbirds go from our patio to hers. You know, just it was so cool. And she had just moved and she needed a table dining. She has our dining room table. And I know that she's happy about it. And so it was what she wanted and needed. It was like it to do that felt so much better than just not knowing, you know.
When we left our big house in Philadelphia, I found an online auction site called MaxSold. And what you do is like, you can't put a minimum bid on anything. So we had like our old dining room suite and chairs and all kinds of things. Like you can put all of your half full bottles of soap underneath the kitchen sink, and you can bundle them and put it on the site, and people will buy them and they come and pick it up. The benefit is that nothing goes to landfill.
That's
and I love
awesome.
The fact, so my vacuum that, you know, one of the wheels had broken, someone still bought it. They might have only paid $5 for it, but it didn't go into landfill, and it was still worked really well and useful. So there's so many things that you can do, where we ended up making like $900 on stuff that we just wanted to get rid of. So people were really happy about getting all of these things. And the, like I said, the bonus was they came and took it away. And it's such a good service. So there's so many things that you can do with this uncluttering, where you can make a few dollars and it works well for you.
Reusing and upcycling is so much better than, you know, hoping something gets recycled. We know that the world of recycling is a yay and a nay, right? And so I think this is it's a really good point, is knowing that something is continuing its journey. And that also gets to the point of things that were crafted really well in quality from the past. And now, you know, here we are with furniture that, you know, you spend a day trying to put together and then it falls apart and easy to break. You know, we're coming out with some stuff that is just boxes shoved together, you know, cardboard boxes painted
on.
It's
built-in obsolescence. And so all of the things that you have as a treasure, it's really nice when you know that they're going to be passed on to someone. Mm-hmm. You know, the first thing I bought when I started making money, when I was in my 20s and I was working as a manager and I started making money and actually had a bit of disposable income, is I bought a really, what I thought was just the most beautiful dish set. And it was Macasa silk flowers, which is so 80s, like so 70s and 80s. I look at it now and I think it just screams that era. And then I talked to every single one of the relatives and said, because we never used it, I said, would you like this dish set, like bowls that I had saved up to buy and covered casseroles? And I finally found a young girl who said, oh, I have dinner parties. And she came from a big Italian family. And I was so happy that I could find someone to give it to. So like I said, I think I'm beating this dead horse.
Yeah.
Seriously, these are things that it's hard to sell. Again, if you go on any site, dish sets. Yeah,
even Facebook Marketplace. I know people who do it all the time. It's like, it's just making room for other things in life, right?
Yeah.
And experiences and things. And so this is kind of a lifestyle. And I think when I first talked to you, I don't know, ever since we've been doing this podcast, I get so much about death. I mean, I get ads for mortuaries and all kinds of stuff all the time. And boy,
since we started talking.
Yes. I'm like, I'm not dying yet. I mean, I might, but I'm getting, you know, it's like wherever we travel to, I'm getting mortuary ads. And I'm like, dude, no one's dying. It's because I'm doing your podcast in a different location all the time. It's like, here we're in Lubbock, Texas today. There's a mortuary for that. So, anyway, and I do want to say, listen, some of the photos, like, no, a lot of it does look like 6 feet under the TV show.
I love that. Yeah.
The ads. So I get the giggles at some of the ads, and I really shouldn't. But yeah, that's a whole other show. With this, to me, it's like it is a lifestyle. And the article I read, it was a girl in her 30s doing this. And I thought, wow, well, there's a lot of people who die young and, you know, through cancer and all kinds of things. So it could be an adoptive lifestyle that you can start now to, it adds more value and really question even what you're purchasing, right? so that it goes further than yourself, maybe, or not. Could be, hey, this is all about me, and there's nothing wrong with that at all.
A friend and colleague of mine started a green funeral home, which,
oh, cool.
You know, no embalming, no, like people have these concepts, and I used to as well, that if you were, if you actually decided not to do that route and instead went into got ashes, that was a better way of saving the environment. But then you find out that cremation, it's the equivalent of a 500-mile journey in your car for all the fuel. So, but what she's discovered, even with this green funeral home, is that the area of her business that is the busiest is the downsizing and the Swedish and Scandinavian kind of cleaning concept, that most people at the end of their life don't know how to get rid of stuff. And so they need to hire people. So if you are at that point where you can still make the decision, yeah, I can get rid of this, and yes, I can get rid of this, and I can talk to my kids, then do it now. Like, don't wait until you're in your 70s and 80s to start doing it. Do it now and start adopting that lifestyle where you say, even if you've got a big house, what is it that I need to, like, what is it that I need?
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't need that stuff and it's been sitting in the closet and you haven't looked at it for 6 months, then...
Well, and also having, you can also have that conversation that you know, like there's those stories about, you know, the family wedding ring going down through generations, right? And it could be like, you've got a ring, right? And then your daughter loves that ring, and you say, okay, well, you know, it's yours, you know, but I'm wearing it for now. You know?
Yeah.
When I die, you don't bury me with the ring. Who cares? You know, take the ring that would be yours. And even if you put it in the will, she knows it's in the will. Because the other thing is, people start to, this is where relationships get weird over wills, is that it's, and it gets, they start to get weird. Like, oh, now you're suddenly interested in coming to see grandpa. Oh, sniffing out the will, are you? Wanting to be in the will? You know how that happens? The family dynamic where one person's the caregiver, the other person may be sending money from afar. Both are doing the right thing. And then here's the third element that suddenly shows up. Oh, grandpa's dying? Oh, let me come see him and be real nice and act. And it's usually the funny, cool one, right? But everybody's now eyeballing, going, you're not here for that. You're here for the money and the will. And maybe the third person isn't, just has a different life and stopped by to, hey, I want to pay respect.
Oh,
you don't
listen,
know,
I've heard
but this
war
is already
stories.
Coming. It's already coming, though, right? I mean, it's a friend who died a couple of years back, and literally people from that she didn't even know existed in the family came out of the woodwork. It was like, here comes the vultures at the funeral. Like, here it is. Like, you could literally see them swoop in, fly in, and we found out all, and then trying to do the obituary because it was this huge family. We found out all kinds of scandal. It was pretty cool writing that obituary. I found out all. No, there were people that were embezzling and then went back into financial planning once they got out of jail, and they suddenly had an interest. And I'm like, you don't want this person to come.
Wow.
I mean, but this is it. And what they all thought was going to be millions and millions, well, there wasn't any.
Yeah. And so in that regard, maybe just best to take care of it so that that last breath, you can go, everything's taken care of. If anybody's visiting me to try and, you know, take the ring off my finger, sorry, it's already been taken off and given away.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing, is like, if it's taken care of and everybody's up front, then all that weird stuff may, I mean, there's always going to, humans are humans, right? And we are weird entities, but if we can have it out front early, then there's none of that stuff. Maybe it will squish it a little bit, so someone can enjoy the rest of their life, you know what I mean, without anybody eyeballing and creating drama when there's probably not any drama at all, but people do, you know.
And then, you know, I know people in my extended family who, and I think it comes from an insecurity, who believe that the only way that they can keep people around them is to entice them with their, what they've got. So, you know, it's the uncle who says, you better be nice to me because, and it's like, yeah, well, we don't need it.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah.
We'll
yeah,
just be nice to you because we want to be nice to you, not because you have to coerce us into.
Yeah, you'll have the horse if you do this way. That's, that's poopy.
Yeah.
There's people like that, but, and you don't have to be part of it. You know, we all have those choices we can make. And remember this too, stuff is just stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And you realize that it doesn't, you know, and they've done enough studies on it that you do need a certain amount of income in order to be happy. It's not true that like really poor people are happier than rich people. No, there's this nice little level thing that when all of your needs are taken care of and you're okay and your, you know, your food, your housing, all of those things are things you don't have to worry about, then anything that you make over that, it's just superfluous.
Yeah. That it's true. That middle thing, everybody wants their basics to be cut.
And, you know, so, like there's so many different things that you can do. So if we were to, you know, talk about the death cleaning and put it into steps, first thing is go into your closet, clean it out, get rid of stuff that you don't need. Second thing is declutter by the sizes. If you're not a size 2 and you're a size 10, you're probably not going to go back to a size 2. Get rid of those things. Start buying less is the other thing. How many pairs of black shoes do you really need? And what was the last? Oh, big, big one. Have the conversation with your loved ones.
Good wrap up. Absolutely. Have those conversations. Lee, always a pleasure having you on the show. And by the way, happy Women's History Month. You know, I think this was a good show for all.
And to Nancy, it's been years, not years, months since I've seen Nancy. So say hi to her.
You'll see her soon. You'll see her soon. She's still like slung up with her arm, but she's doing good.
I'm good. Okay.
Everyone, souljourneydoula.com. That's the website. Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio Soul Journey Doula Show featuring Lee Brovadani. You can keep up with Lee at souljourneydoula.com. Follow our Big Blend Radio podcast at bigblendradio.com.